Blog Talk Radio.
There's a fine line.
the brains and the veins of my strain. Makes it hard to refrain from the host of cocaine, from them whores, from the flame, from a post in the game. Makes it hard to maintain focus. Then from the Glock rounds and lockdowns and burials, the seeds that sowed get devoured by the same locust. Cause it's a hard road to hoe if your ass don't move and the rain don't fall and the ground is dry, but the roots are strong, so some survive. To your surprise, now my voice they cries. You got more juice than Zeus, slinging lightning trying to frighten flames dwellers of the Serengeti, but get beheaded when you falsely dreaded. Melanin, silicone, and collagen injected. Dissecting my pride, who the one gonna get it started? We be the lion hearted without infanticide. It's like that red sprite, you can't imagine. Unless you're looking at the canvas of life, not through the peephole of mortality. Single-minded mentality, getting over on loopholes, getting paid twofold on technicalities. Clicking your heels, scared to voice how you feel, packing steel. Picking cotton from the killing fields with no total. I don't think we in Kansas, no moto. Midwest or dirty south, clean dress or dirty mouth. Whether robbing preachers or killing poor righteous teachers. You a scared demon, shouldn't be allowed to spread semen. And your cowardly lines never define the jackals of Babel. Running with they pack, tail between your legs. Throw the mane on your head, say the story. As you downplay your glory, cackling, helping the shackling of your brethren happen. Just by rapping, libertad, libertad, libertad.
Salam alaikum. This is your brother Tobias Ben Israel. Today is April 19th, 2015. We're back on another Sunday. Blog Talk Radio, Come Out of Hurting My People Outreach Program. You're here with my brother, dear brother, Elias Eliyahu. You there, brother?
Locked and loaded.
Better know it. So today, we're back again. We like to change it up a little bit. A lot of times we come on, we prepare shows, and we have discourses laid out that we like to talk about, but you can only teach so much. Now it's just really about that time to where we're going to talk about what's really going on all the time to really raise your awareness. With that, brother, brief intro, I toss it over to you, see what we have. We go from there.
Ta-da. Well, today, like the brother was saying, man, we opened up with a little intro from Outkast, Liberation. And earlier this morning, I was at the laundromat. And, you know, to pass the time by, I started looking at this newsstand. And front page of the newspaper, I see search stop or ticket on a bicycle because you're black. So, you know, I got a dollar in the drink. So I put my dollar in the machine. Want to know how riding your bike can land you in trouble with the cops. So as I turn through, this is Tampa Bay Times, those of you listening, it says, if the ticket's indication or any indication of how Tampa residents, they must be the lousiest bicycle riders in Florida. Some of the charges are: do not use lights at night, ride close to the curb, and cannot manage to keep their hands on the handlebars. Now, in the past 3 years, Tampa police have ridden 2,504 bike tickets. Now, that's more than Jacksonville, Miami, St. Petersburg, Orlando combined, Doc. Police say they are gung-ho about the bike safety and focus on stopping the plague of bike thefts. But here's something that they don't mention about the people that they do ticket it. 8 out of 10 are black. Now, I'm not sure if you see anything like this going on in your area. You have any comments at this time, brother?
Not like that, bro.
Not like that. So, peep in. Check this out. Tampa Bay Times, they started doing a little investigation. And they found out, I mean, as we know, police are targeting poor black neighborhoods. And they're using these obscure subsections of Florida statute for frivolous things. You know, riding without a light. Or check this one, towing people on the handlebars. And think about the days, brother. I mean, we were riding 3 deep on the bike. Had somebody in the front and the back. And you have officers, they're going to use these minor violations as an excuse to stop, question, and search almost anyone that's on wheels. And understand that the department is not just condoning this type of activity, but encourages it. It pushes officers who patrol these high-crime neighborhoods, black neighborhoods, to do as many as possible. You got a 56-year-old man who was riding his bike through a stop sign while pulling a lawnmower. Police handcuffed him while verifying he had indeed borrowed his lawnmower from a friend. Damn. What if the friend was not able to be contacted at that present moment in time? If you ask oneself that question and have yet to answer, there was another case where a 54-year-old man was riding a bike which was confiscated because he couldn't produce a receipt that proved it was his. Now, this man understands the value of his bike. Police said it was more than $500. The man got it from a scrap and put it together himself. Police then advertised the bike on the website for 45 days to see if anybody would claim it. Unbelievable. And hold up, we have a woman who was walking her bike home. After a long day of work, she was cooking for her elderly neighbor. She was balancing a plate of fish and grits in one hand while walking the bike with the other. Police flagged her down and issued her a $51 ticket for not having a light at night. And with these late fees, it has since ballooned to $90. She hasn't the money to pay. Now, I understand the Times has analyzed over 10,000 bicycle tickets in Tampa over the past 12 years. And even though blacks make up less than a quarter of the city's population, they receive 79% of the bike tickets. And some of these riders have been stopped more than a dozen times throughout the years, and they issued as many as 17 tickets. Some have been ticketed as many as 3 times in one day. This is type of behavior. This makes you think. This makes you want to think. Dr. Bai, got anything you'd like to add, sir? Thus far?
No, sir. Give me just a second, Dr.
Ain't no problem, brother. And understanding that you got some areas where you might see where blacks use bicycles more than whites. But it's not this disparity that you see these goons targeting certain high crime neighborhoods. They're nitpicking cyclists as a way to curb crime. They hope that it will catch someone with a stolen bike or with drugs, or that they think that they would scare away the thieves or would-be thieves. Also, they state that bikes have become a common mode of transportation for criminals or those involved in criminal activity. But most bike stops that lead to tickets turn up no illegal activity. 20% of adults ticketed last year were arrested. And when police did arrest someone, predominantly it was for small amounts of drugs or misdemeanor trespassing. Now, what I was speaking on there was specific neighborhoods. Well, how about there's a neighborhood, Davis Island, where the mayor of the city, one Bob Bullhorn, lives. And just to give you a little backdrop, also Derek Jeter, a famous baseball player, he's also a resident here. So you get the gist of the surrounding. Now, understanding police can issue multiple tickets in this area, but they do not. On the recent Times investigation, they observed a couple leaving the ice cream parlor on an unlit beach cruiser. Cyclists riding dark, no lights. Only thing visible is the reflectors on the bicycles on his pedals. And they noticed that there was only one ticket written last year on Davis Island, and it was written to a black man. The same goes for Bayshore Boulevard. another one of the city's main biking destinations. Only one person got a ticket here last year. He, too, is black. Now, these findings have concerned circuit judges and public defenders, social rights advocates, and leading researchers in race and policing. You almost roll your eyes when you read the reports. Oh, no. Another bike stop. Another kid riding on the handlebars. Here we go again. And we all know certainly we have laws and we should all follow the law. But it occurred to me that the stops were all occurring in certain neighborhoods and with certain children. Not in my neighborhood and not with the white kids, said one circuit judge, Tracy Sheeman. Last year, officers stopped a man in Belmont Heights after he ran a stop sign on his unlit bike. They searched the 33-year-old, one Artis Hancock, and when he tried to flee, a short scuffle ensued. Hancock wound up on the ground. Officer punched, kicked, and choked him out till he rendered unconsciousness. Now in court, Judge Samantha Ward listened to the officers try to justify their suspicion. They said Hancock may have had a weapon. And this is what prompted them to search without consent. He was in a high-crime area, one said. He had large clothing, said another. But before she dismissed all of Hancock's charges, Ward quit. Was he black, too? If that's not racial profiling, what is it? And to me, whether you driving while black in an automobile, on a bicycle, or just walking the streets, just be aware of your surroundings and what's going on. Yeah, brother, whenever you want to interject, feel free. If you got anything you'd like to comment on that article? If not, I'm going to move on.
Yes, sir. I mean, the thing with that, man, I remember, I mean, probably over 10 years ago, I worked for the state as a correction officer. But I had this truck, and I put 23s on. So I'm headed to work. I saw a goon, sheriff deputy, and he whoops around and he gets behind me, wide open. He, you know what I'm saying? He saw me and he turned around in the road. He come get behind me. And this hadn't even been 24 hours since I put the rims on the truck. So he jumped behind me. Then he pulled up beside me in the two lane. He see the United States flag and all this stuff on my uniform. He leaves me alone.
Huh.
His racial profiling. He saw that Chevrolet with them shoes on it. Black man driving. He gets behind me. The next time, well, I've been at the car wash. You know, be vacuuming your whip out. Maybe my partner was at the same vacuuming the whip out. We leave there. The drug task force gets behind us talking about, y'all leaving because y'all saw us. Man, nigga, we ain't paying attention to you. We ain't got nothing to hide. But this so happened, we were one of the guys that was on the task force. Then the white boys going to say, you just like to have a bad night. How we like to have a bad night and we didn't have nothing? You know what I'm saying? And they know we didn't. Same thing with these bicycles, man. Driving anything while black, walking down the street while black, everything. We already got to always have our mind in the game. Always got to be ready for what's going on. Make sure you got your ID on you. They want to hassle you if you ain't got no ID. Any little thing they can try to do to get up under your skin, that's what they going to try to do. They always patrolling and pulling down in our neighborhoods. Granted, hell, maybe somebody really needs to be in our neighborhood, to be honest with you. But the thing is, not much going on in our neighborhood. It ain't going on in the Caucasus neighborhood. They just get together at each other's house around the pool, kick each other behind, and snort each other's dope. Jump on each other, beat the brakes off each other. Their daddy cut them a check, they never hear anybody. Your daddy ain't got that kind of money behind either. But since it's us, we're nothing. They always keep something to talk about to hide their own shame. Just like they like to talk about you was running around in the jungles in Africa naked. Hell, they don't talk about their ass they walk around in the caves of Europe playing in their own feces, making love to dogs and all kind of filthiness. But that ain't the history they like to tell you. Beat you down every day. By any little thing you do, granted, some of you niggas is wicked. We do some wild stuff, but that don't make them to be no better than we are. Them just like us, we can get ourselves together. We come out here on this radio, we try to talk about this thing every week. It's simple to do, but how many really going to do it? How many really just talking about it? How many really putting it in action? How many really, on their day-to-day, really having dialogue with their people about this? How many of you really going out there using your Hebrew name? Or do you hide it when you get on the show? You might have even used your Hebrew name as a nickname because you worry about what somebody going to think. You don't really love yourself the way you think you do, because if you did, it'll reflect in your behavior. Yeah, you ain't going to change overnight. But it got to be some kind of effort. Anything got to be some kind of effort. But what do we do as a people? And I'm right there in the bucket with you. What do we do? I'm no better than you. Yeah, I use my Hebrew name. Yeah, I'm bad on public record. But as long as you putting up, as long as you out of pocket, I'm out of pocket. Why? Because I look like you. I'm you. I got the same pain you got. You need to think about that with me, your children, everybody that's like you. It's not about you. It's about people. Where you love at. With that idea, bro.
Already. Stay with love for our people. That moves me to this next piece. We got a black activist charged with lynching. All right. So, in the latest episode of police targeting our leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement, we got 20-year-old one Melee Hampton, who's been charged with lynching, a felony, for trying to pull a fellow protester away from police. Now, this stems from January rally against police brutality. The city of Sacramento, California. And this is not the first time the felony charge of lynching has been used against the activists. And this incident is also one to show you that a felony in which Black Lives Matter leaders have been convinced they've been targeted by police as retaliation for their leadership and activism. Now, according to the Answer Coalition, one who's Hampton is affiliated with, says that there was aggressive police disruption of a peaceful Black Lives Matter march in Sacramento, which led to several people being arrested. Now, this group is adamant about the fact that the police was the aggressors. Now, this one is close to home for me. And we speak on real quick, the ANSWER Coalition, for those that are not aware with this acronym, it stands for Act Now, Stop War and Racism. Act Now, Stop War and Racism. And you have Hap Campton and others who were involved in one of the many ongoing protests over them goons, the police killings of one Michael Brown, Eric Gardner, and Tamir Rice. Now, this was taking place at the Capitol at the same time a pro-police rally was occurring. I've seen a short video. You see the ANSWER activists walking down. And then they was confronting the police, who seemed they looked like they had an individual on the ground. As the protesters get close, you see multiple officers start to converge. Stay back, stay back. Then they begin to grab individuals. Some of the individuals pull away. Others are pulled away by members of the crowd. Speak on these subsections. Subsection 405A and 405B of the California Penal Code state. The taking by means of a riot of any person from lawful custody of any peace officer is a lynching. And every person who participates in any lynching is punishable imprisonment for 2, 3, or 4 years or $100,000 fine. Now, you see the video footage. It looks like the demonstrators are chanting, sounds like, who do you protect? Who do you serve? You see police officers tussling with another demonstrator. And, like I said, a woman who appears to be Hampton enters the street and attempts to take a sign from an individual who police are engaged with, ironically grabbing the arm of that person. Well, here's what's really twisted. Authorities are using the 1933 California Code that you may heard mentioned briefly, the 405A and 405B. This is meant for people being forcibly taken by others from police custody in attempts that they were exact their own vigilante justice and what many times took form in the lynching. So now this law is being used to target anti-police, Black Lives Matter. Dr. Hampton's attorney, Juan Linda Parisi, says it's ironic that this code section is designed and passed to protect primarily African Americans from vigilante justice, but now that it's not how it's being used today. She goes on to speak on how having that felony is a significant collateral consequences. And are we sure this is the message that we want to show our young people who are expressing themselves about relevant social issues? I mean, do we really want to arrest people, young people, for felonies for engaging in acts of civil disobedience? Got the mayor of Sacramento one, Kevin Johnson, spoke to the Lincoln charges, stating, I was shocked to learn that in California, removing someone from police custody is defined as lynching. The word has a long and painful history in our nation, and it needed to be immediately removed from California law, end quote. Dr. Ma, you got anything you'd like to add, sir?
Man. Whether we want to believe it or not, just like we're time travelers, we in the damn 60s, man, all over again. A couple years ago, you know, I think we made, African Americans may have lost their right to vote. Something happened with the Civil Rights Act, Voting Rights Act. Now you got white boys and frats and everything in Oklahoma, different places, and they sang a nigga song about hanging you and so forth. You got these Klansmen, police officers shooting your brothers down in the streets. Leave you there for hours. Being pulled over, you being abused. You get shot by mistake, and they thought it was a taser. You go to court, you don't even get justice. We in the 60s, man. But the difference now is, see what you want to say about those that were marching then, getting that water hole put on. How many of y'all about that now? It's a bigger deal now. Because like the brother told me just maybe a little under an hour ago, we got access to all kind of information now. We can bag these people down if we came together as a collective. We could bag these people down if we knew who we were. We could bag these people down when we discover who we are and we start to operate upon the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. Because that was our power. That was our strength. Now, curses, all these plagues, all these things you see every day comes upon us because we're out of order. We're back in the 60s. A lot of you Negroes hop out there, you talk about Kemet and you talk about Islam, you talk about Hebrews, you talk about being Christian, some of you niggas is atheists. But what do you really believe in? What is it that we're doing as a people, as a whole, that's going to save our own? You Negroes are stuck arguing. So people dying in the street. You Negroes are stuck arguing. Your baby's still on wick. You Negroes are stuck arguing. And now people still taking Medicaid, worried about Social Security. Some of you saying Negroes won't get none, might not get nothing. You might be on the street living under a bridge because you don't believe in collective economics. That what you bring forth as collective economics is hidden behind that, but it's really collective individualism. Our people are basically for self. This is not to beat us down, but I'm talking to you. Do we really see what's going on? Do you got to stand in the courtroom all the time and get beat down, get the gavel put on you, and get you sent up to the beam for 10 plus to keep getting it? Or do you get it? You get manhandled in the child support office. You get manhandled. The old folk get manhandled when it's time for them to get their Social Security. They want to keep pulling them off. You got brothers and sisters that, hell, they really mental health for real, but they can't get no money. Why? Not many of us go into those fields to be able to stand in the gap for them. Negro, if you're going to sell that dope, move that dope. Forget what? If that's what you do, do that. Take your own stripes when you get hit. For hell, if you're going to do it, put them Hunter band to the side, man. Send one of your brothers to law school or something, man. Yeah, charity covers a multitude of sin, what the scriptures say. Charity is synonymous with love. Hard be fair.
Yes, sir. And real briefly, before we go to a commercial break, I just want to stay in a statement. Miss Hampton says, it seemed very hypocritical and outrageous that four uniformed white men came into my home, an African-American woman, took me out of my home and put me in jail for standing up for people on lynching. Under the circumstances that day, it was apparent to me that it was an intimidation tactic. Hampton also feels that the authorities were targeting two of the most powerful anti-Israel activists. Hampton has participated in pro-Palestine rallies, raising the minimum wage campaign, and many other activities. Says that she believes that based on how law enforcement has interacted with us and tried to get information, we know that they know that we are very intersectional in our activism and that we are two young, educated people of color. Jamie Sally, whom Hampton is referring to, adds that they see that as a threat. Thinking about we were in that situation the brother was just speaking on. Our sisters are faced with right now, you know, getting hosed down to talk shit on the brothers. And we got a fellow activist, Emily, states that at a city council meeting that her arrest and bail are clearly met. I shot Commando Police Department to intimidate and silence the Black Lives Matter movement that have swept the country of late. The California authorities used this law to target activists in the past. They used it in 1999 against the anti-fur activists, again in 2011 against Occupy activists, 2014 against activists supporting migrant detainees, and lately a petition has been started to have the charges dropped against Hampton and to end the targeting of activists. You have two other activists that was arrested the same day for lynching. One, Emily Cinder, who was white, and Strong Walls, who is mixed race. Both were released that very same day and did not have any charges filed against them. That's very important to denote. We'll be right back after a brief commercial break.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until there are no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Miss a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. This a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of interest, been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war. There's a war. War in the east. War in the west. War up north. War down south. War, war. Rumors of a war. And until that day, necessary, and we know we shall win, as we are confident in the victory of good over evil.
Yeah, yeah. 47 minutes in. 13 minutes to the top of the hour. We're back. That's war. This war for the minds of the people. Our radio show today is entitled Liberation. Look that up. Get your Webster. Get your Miriam. Get whatever you want to get. But learn what that really means. We spoke on being black while cycling. And we spoke on various other things in conjunction with that, but they like to say all roads lead to Rome. If you didn't know it, wrong.
Better know it.
Better you know it. You went wrong. So, very briefly, something just to lay on the minds of the people. What do you love? Who do you love? What is it that you're loyal to? Is it your job? Is it your common language family? Is it your cars? Who do you believe in? What do you believe in? Do you have any perception of anything that's greater than yourself that's worth dying for? If it's only your children, you're a miss. If it's only your religion, you're a miss. You got to know who you are and love your people. Be ready to stand in the gap. Not because they're stupid. Not because they're doing stupid stuff. Because you know we come from a righteous stock. It's damn time that we do something for ourselves. You make that sacrifice for your people, for your people, for your children. In that order. Dear brother, I'd like to yield to you. I yield.
Ta-da. Yes, sir. That day, you know, where you gotta make that decision. It be whether it be an easy decision or a life or death decision. Understand and protect, provide, preserve. Traditional responsibility first and foremost. Not about oneself. State of mind consciousness that you got to be in to be able to stand up, so to speak, for what you believe in. Now, real briefly, I just want to speak on this genocide You can say it's a genocide. This boat capsized in the Mediterranean. Now, this is one of the latest in a series of dangerous voyages. You got hundreds of men and women, children, aboard the boat in Libya, hoping to make it safely to Europa. But after a couple of days at sea, dark night, Saturday night, the ship was in distress, sent out an SOS. Now as rescuers approach, migrants perhaps estimated 700 people on board. They moved to one side of the boat, hoping to be saved. Consequently, their movement caused a large multi-level boat to capsize, sending a desperate crowd plunging into the frigid water. Chances of survival slim, next to none. You got the Maltese authorities who's working alongside Italian authorities. Say about 50 of the 700 have been saved. Now, while the shipwreck, you know, was an accident, you got human traffickers who facilitate, you know, risky trips, risking people's lives. Coyote, so to speak, on a daily basis. You got criminals putting people on the boat, whether it be willingly or sometimes at gunpoint. Malta's Prime Minister, one Joseph Muscat, says they're putting them on the road to death. Really, that's it, nothing else. It's genocide, nothing less than genocide. Now, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, Antonio Guterres, said that this incident could be worse than the incident that happened just last week, in which 400 refugees and migrants died in the Mediterranean. Troops is gathered together in the Italian Navy are literally looking through bodies trying to find someone who's still alive. We got the Italian Coast Guard, who is leading the rescue operation, reported that 28 survivors and 24 bodies have been recovered so far, and 70 miles, 110 kilometers north of Libya. Got anything you'd like to add up? Say you speak on anything? On that piece.
Man, when I read that, man, you know, man, them folks might be Africans, man, but on the same note, man, life is life, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of our people were tied into that, too. Man, I cried, man, when I read the article. Like, tears came from my eyes, man, looking at the boat. Then just thinking about the horror of that, man. But at least they'll try to run. Them folks trying to get away, man. They running. Think about this, man. Once upon a time, man, they didn't want anybody, any type of Europeans, to be on the continent of Africa because they knew when they came, they brought death, they brought alcohol, they brought guns, they brought different things. Now, we're running to them? That's a hell of a thing. So what would you do, man? Them babies hungry like that. They ain't got no damn weak and no Medicaid. They ain't got no Social Security, man. They ain't got no habitat for them, man. They ain't got no brick cities. They just got to do what they got to do. whether they pray to a turnip or they pray to the Most High, they got sense enough to know that a change got to come. I yield, bro.
Shalom, Mark. All right, real briefly, made me think of, you know, many of our days that we know about on them boats and things of that nature, as on Massacre. Let's go to these phone lines, see what we got today, who's all with us. All right, real briefly, we'd like to bring on caller 912-480, Brother Minister Cedric.
Shalom, brother. Can I be heard?
Oh, yes, sir. Shalom.
Shalom. I just want to briefly say, first off, that you brothers brought forth a very touchy subject, and you brothers always bring it. It really touched place in my heart to, you know, to hear the statistics behind our people and the jurisdiction that we're under. And for those brothers and sisters out there, you guys, please take heed to what these brothers are saying, because this episode that they have brought forth is very pertinent towards the understanding of the times that we are in. The brother mentioned earlier that we're in the 60s. Hell, it looks like we're in the 1860s and 1760s. It looks like we're still under the, like we've been put back under the, you know, 1742 Christian Black Codes. And it is with that understanding that we must be cognizant of learning how to practice group economics. Because once we stand together, we can bring down this beast as these brothers have brought forth. And with that, brothers, I say peace and shalom to you.
Thanks, bro.
Shalom in the house. Yes, sir. Do you know it? All right. Now, I would like to bring forth caller 502-614. Ima Yaruf, you're on life.
Shalom, Ima Yaruf, shalom. Good to hear you, young man, in Ox again. Been a little under the weather myself and just, you know, in another state trying to get my liberation. I feel that I have it, you know, freedom not only from what our imprisonment and slavery, but also I'm not limited in my thoughts and behavior. I've been kind of like in a sabbatical where I'm just, you know, in tune with myself to know what I need to improve on myself to help others be liberated. And I truly feel that I have been liberated just being a part of this nation and in listening to the Oxnachiums of this, in Aki eyes of this nation. I really am proud of you. It's sad to see, in a sense, but we, you know, once we learn these words and eliminate all these crazy words and phrases we use, we have become liberated. Once we learn to do commerce and get out here and do what we need to do as far as healing our own, we're liberated. And once we learn that we can heal ourselves with our minds, with our herbs, with the things we've learned, with going by those laws, we're liberated. So I truly feel that I'm liberated in many ways, and the liberation has come. And with that, I yield. Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you for that. Very well spoken words of wisdom. Truly appreciate it. All right, you got any last words you'd like to bring forth? Anything you want to say before we shut things down for this evening, sir?
Man, I just want to stress to love don't make you weak. Easier to hate. It's much easier to have a demeanor or a lack of discipline that displays savagery. But it shows discipline when you love. For the young men that are listening, young women that are listening, one day, it don't make you weak to love your people. Nobody's saying, when we speak in love, nobody's saying that, you know, somebody slap hell out you and you turn your face to the other side and you let them get the other side. Nah, it's not what that means. From my studies, when the Christ says that, that means that you're not obligated to give back the disrespect that somebody is giving to you. You don't have to stoop to that level. Because when you think you're getting the last word, that's just really the first word for the other individual. By all means, somebody put their hands on you. You know what Malcolm said. But everything starts in your own home. Dealing with your immediate said family. And it goes from there. When you're looking at the news, if you look at the news, right, take the time and put yourself in the situation of these people, these other people. It doesn't matter if they cause it or not. If something bad happened to somebody, man, think about that. And then reflect on what's going on with your people. And then we can try to do something from there. It's going to take a change of mind. It's going to take a change of heart. It's going to take us sitting down and talking with each other. But it ain't a lot of time for talking no more. It's really time to get to moving. Like yesterday. With that, bro, I yield to you.
My apologies for the delay. At this time, just want to say thank you for the brothers and the sisters tuning in. Those that are listening, Liberation, Come Out of My People, Tribes of Aboriginal Nations Outreach Program. Be back tomorrow night. Number 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Shalom.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, it is you who wakes me up every day. And I am forever grateful for your love. This is why I pray. You let me touch so many people, and it's all for the good. I influenced so many children. I never thought that I would. And I couldn't take credit for the love they get, because it all comes from you, Lord. I'm just the one that's giving it. And when it seems like the pressure gets to be too much, I take time out and pray and ask that you be my crutch. Lord, I am not perfect by a long shot. I confess to you daily. But I work hard every day and I hope that you hear me. In my heart, I mean well. But if you'll help me to grow, then what I have in my heart will begin to show. And when I get going, I'm not looking back for nothing, because I will know where I'm headed. And I'm so tired of the suffering. I stand before you, a weakened version of your reflection, begging for direction, for my soul needs resurrection. I don't deserve what you've given me, but you never took it from me. Because I am grateful, and I use it, and I do not worship money. If what you want from me is to bring your children to you, my regret is only having one life to do it, instead of two. Amen.
Amen. Right.